Worship this morning, you all sounded like the, I don't know, what can I say, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. I don't know why that popped into my head, but that sounded wonderful. For those of you who are joining us at home, I hope the effect of the voices in this auditorium was music to your ears, and I hope you sang along with us at home as we are joining together on this glorious, lovely, beautiful Lord's Day. How many are happy that spring is upon us? Yeah, everybody's. How many did yard work this weekend? Yeah, about half of you? Yeah, we did a little yard work yesterday, and more to do. It's just a great time of year. The new life, the greenery, the warmer weather, it does a lot for our spirits. And we are just glad that you have joined us during this time today. I have something I want to mention before we get started, and that is this will be our third year here at Northeast during the summer to have our food and fellowship groups. And we will have sign-ups available the next couple of weeks. I want to let you know right now that if you want to sign up for these food and fellowship groups, you can go to our website. You can go to Grow Deeper, and you can click on that icon, and that will take you directly to a more detailed description of these food and fellowship groups and a place there that you can sign up to participate. These are not exactly like our life groups. They are smaller groups, 3 to 5 families or individuals who will get together over the summer 5 or 6 times and just build relationships in Jesus. And we try to structure these groups so that you will be in a group that has some people that you know, but maybe also some people that you don't know quite as well. So it's an opportunity to develop the relationships that you already have and to get to know some folks that you might not know as well. So I encourage you to check that out. You can also go to the bulletin, and there's a description on today's bulletin and a link there to sign up as well. But we'll be communicating with you more about that. The early church got together a lot and they ate a lot. They shared their meals together. It was an integral part of who they were. A couple of weeks ago, we engaged ourselves in an exercise of fasting as a congregation, and many of you participated in that, and that was a rewarding experience as we brought the focus of our hearts, our minds together about who we are and what God is calling us to be. A lot of important decisions to be made over the next couple of months, whatever that time frame might be, as we look to the future. And God is going to bless us in that. But He certainly blesses us in our meal times together. We're told in the second chapter of the book of Acts, they ate their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. And it's in that context that we can share life and faith in a casual way that builds us up more as the body of Christ. So I encourage you to look into that and sign up for that. We also want to mention this morning that it is Mission Sunday. Told you the last time we had a Mission Sunday, our elders wanted to highlight 4 times this year the mission works that we're engaged in as a congregation, the works that we support. And on those Mission Sundays, of course, are the Sundays where everything that we give in terms of our monetary giving during this week time period, all of that goes to mission. And so we are doing that 4 times this year. We are grateful for the opportunity to participate in being a part of sharing and being engaged in the greatest work that there is on earth. Listen, there is nothing more important than our relationship with Jesus Christ. And it was Jesus Himself who said, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That is good news. And we want to share that news with others. We remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 28 when He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go ye therefore to all nations, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." And what a privilege it is for us to be able to engage in this work, because what we're about is good news. We are good news people. And this world, the people we know, those that we come in contact with, situations all over the world today need some hope and some light. And we have an opportunity to engage in that in a special way. And that might bring to your mind, well, you know, what difference can one person make in this big old world that we live in? Depending on who you listen to, we have about 7.5 billion, with a B, people in the world today. That's amazing, isn't it, when you think about it? And I'm just one person of about 7.5 or more billion people in the world. And sometimes when we think of it in those terms, it's an awesome thought to think that we have a call as God's people to impact this world. But I want to encourage you, first of all, to remember, just start in the world where you are. Not everybody can be a missionary. Not everybody can travel overseas. But we can all be light and life in this world. I remember a few years ago, we had a member here who had physical problems, couldn't get out much, was basically shut in. And I remember him telling me one time, this is a man named Alan Stouter, he said, you know, I am doing what I can to share Jesus with others. So when he would pay his bills, this is back in the day when most of the people, you know, used paper and actually sent a check when you're paying your bills. But when he did that, he put a tract about Jesus in every one of those bills. And I don't know, he didn't know what happened when that arrived where it went. I guess it's possible it may have wound up in a trash can, but you never know. You never know if someone's going to be the first one through you to hear and know that message. And I think that just brings life to our call and who we are. I look at Dave Anderson right here. God is using him in a lot of great ways. He has a ministry, I think I've told you about it before, where he paints rocks, and the rocks are quite beautiful. They have scriptures on them. And one of the things he does almost every day, he goes out and he says, God, lead me to somebody today that I can talk to, that I can encourage, that I can give this rock to them and learn more about them and share a little bit of Jesus with that person. And so that's his unique call. That's one of the things that he does. But the neat thing about our call in sharing the gospel, and that was from our reading this morning, is that we can be partners in the gospel. We're not alone. We work together. So as Paul was writing this letter to the Philippians, he was there in about 50 AD. He was not there for a long time. He was there with quite a bit of controversy, was thrown into jail, was beaten, and the very jailer that watched over him and probably gave consent to him being beaten is the same one eventually who was led to Jesus with his family. They came to faith in Christ. We're told about another lady there that Paul and Silas came in contact with there in Acts chapter 16, a woman named Lydia, who was a seller of purple cloth. And we're told that she and some women had gathered by the river to pray during the Sabbath day, probably Jewish, some of them probably proselytes, worshiping God. And God sends Paul and Silas there with some great difficult situations. A riot started, they're thrown in prison, and it's tough. But yet from the very start, while he didn't stay there long, he made an impact, both Paul and Silas, in partnering in the gospel. And this partnership in the gospel, at least with the church at Philippi, was also supported by what they gave financially. Let me just read really quick for you here in Philippians chapter 4, what Paul says about that gift he received. And he is in part, in writing this letter, and he probably wrote it about 62 AD, he writes it from prison in Rome, and he says, I rejoice greatly that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you've been concerned, but you've had no opportunity to show it. I'm saying this not because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I have. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. And I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation by being well-fed or hungry, whether living plenty or in want. I can do everything through him. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And so part of what Paul is doing in this letter, written about 12 years after he was first there and led a number of these people to Christ, he's writing them a thank you note. That's what he's doing. And he had just received another gift. He was grateful for that financial support. And so that got me to thinking about, in terms of what we're going to do today and talking about what we do in terms of our monetary giving in support of other works. And we have a lot of partnerships that are going on in the same type of way that Paul was talking to the Philippians. I think of the mission works and the service opportunities that Northeast has been involved in over the last several decades. And I am convinced that we have been involved in some of the greatest, most fruitful, productive works that are going on in various places around the world. And I am so thankful that we can be a part of that as well. And so I'm going to ask you, if you haven't done it before, go to our website and go up to the upper right-hand corner of the website and click on Missions. And when you click on Missions, you're going to be led to some local partners that we are engaged in and partners with, and some overseas as well. And I couldn't help but think this week, as I was finishing putting my thoughts together, I saw Martha Tien last week here, and I actually saw her. We were not here. We were sick, but we were with you, and we were watching. And I know she was here, but I don't see her here today. Oh, there is Martha. God bless you, Martha. She's right there in the back. I think of the involvement and engagement that we had with George and Martha. George passed away several years ago, but the work that they did in China that was so instrumental in reaching and having an effect on so many people. And what a joy it has been, Martha, to be engaged in a partnership with you. And Martha, while she's not going to China, she's staying in touch with the people there. And we love and appreciate people like Martha and the work that George did while he was here, and that we could be partners in that work. I'll tell you what, I'm going to do something that just came to my head right now. We want to thank you, Martha. We love you and appreciate you. And so as Paul writes to the Philippians, he looks at what they are doing in terms of supporting him financially as a partnership that's just continuing the work that they had started together. And I think of all the partners that we have had through the years, and I'm just filled with gratitude. I think of Baja Missions. I am grateful that this year, for the first time in several years, we will be taking a group. Clint will be leading a group from Northeast and some other congregations to the Baja Missions. They're in Baja, California. They're in Mexico. I think of the work that's been done through the years with Hope for Haiti's Children. And I know right now things are very, very difficult in Haiti. Haven't been able to take a large team or a large group to Haiti in a couple of years. And part of it has been the pandemic, but a lot of it has been the political and the crime and some of the difficult situations right now in Haiti. But the work's still getting done. I think of what the team did this past summer with the camp that went on there. While a lot of our people were not able to be there, a lot of our people here at Northeast partnered with a really great core of people who are native to Haiti and on the staff and work there in pulling off a camp. Many were baptized. It was a positive experience, and I'm more excited about that in the future. And I know y'all are looking forward to the time when you can engage in even more ways in Haiti and Baja. What about Kumo? We've been involved in Kumo for several years, had Lamarque come speak with us in January. Excited about what goes on there. We engage in several activities during the year with Kumo, the coat drive, the Christmas store. We've taken a group of people down there to worship with them and had cookouts with them. But it's a partnership that we have. And then City Gospel Mission, we just got the word the last couple of weeks that now when we go to City Gospel Mission, we're not just going to be going there to serve food, but we're going to have the opportunity, like we did a couple of years ago, to sit down and visit with those residents at a great work and a great program that is a is a hand up. It's not just a handout. City Gospel Mission does such great work in helping people take that next step in independence, very Christ-centered. And so be looking for opportunities in the future about that as well. And the exciting thing about a lot of these works, it gives us opportunity to be very much hands-on in the work that we do. Over the years, I think I mentioned this a couple of months ago when we talked about it, over the last decade or more, we've had over 100 of our members here at Northeast the last 10 or 20 years, over 100 members, different people, to go to Baja, to go to Haiti on mission trips, on going to camp, doing medical mission trips. And that's a big chunk of people who are getting hands-on involvement in the work that's going on. But probably the one we know the least about in terms of foreign works is what we do in Thailand. It all started back in the early 1990s when Charlie Proctor, one of our elders here, went to Thailand to work for General Electric. Had an opportunity to go to a Church of Christ there in Bangkok, the Samprasong Four Church. And in that trip, he met a young man named Pathinya Thitithan, who at that time was working with the church and working with college students, who originally had no idea that he wanted to full-time be someone who shared the gospel of Jesus with others. He was going to be an engineer. But it turned out, after he was converted, he had the opportunity to go to the Sunset School of Preaching, went back to Thailand, and the rest is history in terms of what they have done in Thailand in reaching people for Jesus. Now, we don't make as many trips as a church to Thailand. I've been there three times. The first trip I took was by myself back in the late 1990s. It was the first time I'd ever been out of the country. Ever, except for Windsor, Canada, and Niagara Falls, Canada. And that doesn't count, does it? I mean, I'd basically been nowhere in the world. And then I was sent on this trip. I did a lot of teaching and preaching, and it was quite an experience for me. We've had a group that went in the year 2000. I went with Frank Savage 1 year, and so I've been three times. But it's a great work that is making a huge difference in the world there today. And we are partners with this work and these other works. I had the opportunity to sit down to have a conversation with Pathinya back in late March, and I recorded that through Zoom and have done some editing, and I want you to see some parts of that conversation I had with Pathinya so that you can get to know him a little bit better. Make sure the volume's up.
Hello, everybody. We are meeting with Pathinya Thitithan, our missionary that we've been supporting in Thailand since the 1990s. We're excited about the work that he continues to do there, and we just wanted to start out by saying to our brother, greetings, and want to know how you've been doing. How's your family? How's life going? How's the work going?
Good evening. So, your morning is our evening. Yes. We have 13 hours. It is so good to talk to you again, Grady, and to you, the church family. Pentide and I are doing well. We've been facing with COVID-19 since the last part of 2019. Since then, we've been having a lot of headache. We didn't know what to do. We had to stay home, and then the government allowed us to leave some to go get some food, and then the next day they said stay home.
Tell me a little bit about what you all have done over the last couple of years because of the restrictions associated with COVID. How have you managed the ministry and the work differently over the last couple of years?
March 2020, March 2020, when Thailand not just locked down the country, but closed all the immigration posts at the border. And one day before that, all of the Laotian students had to travel home to Laos to renew their visa. And then, you know, the next day, the country locked down, shut down. So all the Laotian students haven't been able to come back to Thailand yet. And now we have 12 full-time students in northern Laos and one full-time student in their capital, Vientiane, and one in the south in the province of Savannakhet.
Now, how are things going with the student ministry at the university?
For almost 2 years, we couldn't do anything. The university closed down, and all the students, usually they have 100,000 students live in the dormitories around the university. And we work with them, plus students who come and go. All the students went home. No one had come and attend classes on campus. So I see no point to keep paying the rent. So we return the building to the owner, and hopefully that we will get it back. But what we've been doing is to use our van. We have an old van, and when we can go to the university, or when we can go to visit the people in the university area, we will go and keep the connection, keep in touch with them. And also, we have 15 to 18 prospects, the non-Christian, the Buddhist students, that we start the one-on-one with personal evangelism. We've been doing online with them right now. We were able to baptize three of them on the days that the government said it's okay for you to go out. We took the opportunity, jump on the van, and go to see them and baptize them.
I love the statement in the first chapter there, Philippians, as Paul talks about this partnership that he has with the church at Philippi. And to me, I see this as a key verse in the entire book of Philippians. I think I'm going to be doing a sermon series on Philippians starting in June. But and I may use this as the key verse in the entire book. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion till the day of Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul is saying to them, listen, God started a great work in you through Christ. And whatever God is calling you to, wherever you are called as an individual in terms of using your gifts and talents in the body of Christ and reaching out and serving others, God is doing a work in you, and God is going to complete it. And I couldn't help but think of that as I had this conversation with Patinia, because he, like us and a lot of people, you know, we just had to do what we had to do when we faced some of those challenges related to COVID. I mean, they had all of their Laotian students go to Laos to renew their visas, and boom, the next day, they lost their visas. They couldn't come back. What are they going to do with these students? But they found a way to do something. It's not in this part of the interview, but he worked with some others in setting up a group home in Laos, and it's a communist country, with some house parents that would work with some of those students in Laos. It was amazing, as Patinia described, the things that they did to adjust to make a difference in terms of what was going on here. And enough can't be said about that. And I just think it's wonderful that even when the university students went home, they found a way, when they were able to get out, to use that van and go to the students and actually baptize some of those students in what they did. Exciting stuff. Now let's look at about 3 minutes more of the clip.
So we start to be able to travel some, and the activities with churches start to come back. Let me share this, and it will probably answer Granny's question too. How are we going to do it in the future? Optimistic. I'm optimistic about this technology. It is not the best thing. It is not like person to person, not like Jesus and his apostles, you know, day in, day out, travel together. It's not like that. But in a time like this, I found that I am teaching more people, even before the pandemic, because of the technologies. 92 people, I count 92 people each week. And they come from 24 churches in Thailand, in Laos, and in Germany. 45 preachers, and they turn around to teach and preach to about 600 to 700 every Sunday.
Wow.
So I'm excited about this. I train more preachers and leaders right now online.
So as you think about where you are now, is the Watch Our Poem Church, is it meeting in person now? Are y'all meeting in person?
We started to worship, we call it on-site, at the church building, almost 2 months ago. I see the real need to move the Bible school out from Bangkok. And number two, Bangkok is becoming very, very expensive to feed students.
Yeah.
And third reason, most of our students are now Laotian. They're Laotian. Bangkok is located at least 10 hours drive of the border. And it costs so much to send them back to Laos to renew the visas. Right now, we have a sister in Christ in Lai province, Great Enosa. She donated a much bigger piece of land in Lai for this purpose. If we could move the facilities there, we can teach our students to grow rice, vegetables, raise pig, you know, to teach them how to go back to live in the village type of life, not the city type of life, so they will be able to support themselves. Please pray for that. And this is the time to think about it. So, because, like I said, this year and next year is our transitioning ready. I turn responsibility to the younger generation, time for the Savior, so I can give my attention to things like this.
Two of the most exciting things in my mind with what is going on in Thailand is the effect that they have had on countries around them. And I mean, Christianity in Thailand's about, you know, less than 1% of the population. Maybe it's more like 0.5%. And yet, some of these Christians who are in Thailand are reaching out to neighbors beyond them. And the fact that Patinia and his team are able to do with the students in Laos, what they're able to do is absolutely amazing. Once again, Laos is a communist country. And yet, they have some influence there in ways that a lot of folks might not have that opportunity. And you talk about silver linings. I mean, with the difficulties that they faced, Patinia pointed out, he said, look, he said, it's been hard. But one thing this has done, this has enabled us to be able to teach more people. And it pushed us into a situation where we had to come up with something to where we could continue to communicate. So that tough situation, that challenge, produces a silver lining that enables them to be able to do more in the future. And I look at the same with what happened here during the pandemic, with what we were able to do to update our website and to do so many other things related to what we do technology-wise with the help of Nick and other people on staff and with the technology team doing what they were doing. God's opened doors for us that I'm excited about in the future. So when he closes the door, he opens a window. This is something else that comes through as well in my conversation with Patini, and it's what we know as well. There's no replacement. There's no substitute for the personal touch. And ultimately, that is what we're aiming at, to be a real presence in the lives of real people in a real way. A lot of talk today using the term virtual reality. What is real, what isn't? People play online video games where they take on characters and roles and sometimes kind of become some figure that maybe they aren't even necessarily themselves. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, fantasy games where you do things like that. But still, that's not where the ultimate aim is. The ultimate aim is about real people with real presence in the people that they know and love. There's just something special about this real presence and connection, right? We found that out. We found that out over the last couple of years. We know how special this moment is. And you tell me, if you're not like me, when you run into somebody at Kroger or something like that that you know, like maybe somebody from church, it's kind of a neat thing, isn't it? I mean, it's special because you had a face-to-face with them. It's not like they didn't exist if you weren't there at Kroger and saw them. We run to the Rices and we run into Kathy Dudley Turner all the time at Kroger. It's like our second place to visit. But it's always neat because there's this real presence in the lives of people, and that ultimately what God is calling us to. And so the last quick clip, and then we will close. I asked Patini if he had any final words, and this is what he said.
But when I talk from my heart, I'm short in words. Feeling is difficult to express. I just want to say this, that Northeast Church of Christ in Cincinnati has been with the Tibetans, Penjai and I, for a long, long time. Long, long time, almost 30 years. Started with Proctor, Charles Proctor, and then you send a whole team led by Grady to visit, to work with us, and we went, we came to visit you many times, and you have been faithful, not just to God, yes, to support us also. Financial support, your love, your encouragement. Penjai and I want to say thank you so much. Thank you so much. You are our encourager. So Northeast family, we love you. Yeah. And we love Grady and Jeannie dearly. And glad to see you all again. And
well, we appreciate you so much, brother, and the work that you've done. Tell Penjai that we said hello, and I don't guess is she someone where we could see her and say hi to her? Is
she already went upstairs? I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm going to send a picture to you, Grady. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. Okay, brother. Well, thank you so much, Petunia, for sharing what's going on. We look forward to seeing you, God willing, next year. And you take care. God bless you and your family and the great work that's going on in Thailand. And we're thankful that we are able to partner with you in that work.
Ultimately, it's about relationships. It's about the relationship that we have individually with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a living relationship with a living Lord. But then it's about the connections that we have with each other and the partnership we have with each other, the love we have for each other. And I love the statement that Paul makes in Philippians chapter 1. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ. You can be sure if you are seeking to love other people with the affection of Jesus, you're going to make an impact in their life. And so what God has shared with us through Jesus, we in turn share that with others. And so I want you, as we come to a close, just give thanks for every meaningful relationship you have in your life, your family, our church family. You know, when Petunia shares his words with us, you know, I feel that. And I think about how important it is to say to somebody that you're thankful to God for them. Do it today. Look at that person right next to you. And look at him. Gene, look at Lori right now and tell her, I thank God for you. Do it. Now I'm going to have everybody in the auditorium do that right now. No, not really. Tell them. Share that life and that blessing that we have. It's meant to be shared. So know this week, as you give, that you are giving not just to support some nebulous work out there. You are investing in a partnership that's making a difference in the lives of people. And we want you to let us know whenever you want to get together and talk and study, if you want to, you know, be baptized into Christ, if you want to talk a little bit more about what it means to be a member at Northeast, let us know. We want to help you and encourage you on that journey. And I hope and pray God blesses you with a great week this week. That's it.